three presentations, and they're presenting jointly to get the last one. And then we'll have questions at the end so we don't get in the way of the flow of the discussion, because I think these mix together really well. So we have all three presentations and then questions at the end. Our first speaker today is David DeSasseri. David is the division of he's in the division of epidemiology at the New York State Department of Health in Albany, and his presentation today is on data quality of New York State's electronic laboratory reporting system.
There we go. The New York State Electronic Laboratory, what we call eClairs, was founded and implemented in 2001. We've been working very well ever since then to bring on labs for reporting. Big thing that we've had all throughout was, with everybody has, is data quality, quality assurance, how we know the data is coming in, how we know that the data is good. Here's what we get in through eClairs currently. Basically everything, even congenital malformations from select labs around the state. As of currently, we have over 500 labs submitting, having data for 500 labs being submitted through eClairs. Our annual records that get reported are up over a half million for everything. HIV is well over a million. Cancer is, not everything gets reported for eClairs, only the outpatient reporting. Everything else goes through our tumor registry. So their volume is low right now, but it's steadily growing as compared to years past. So with quality assurance, it's always been who will do the quality assurance on the data that's coming in. In the past, it was always we went to the programming areas and said, once the data comes in and we pass it over to you, it's yours. Do with it what you want. Do your QA. If you have any issues, let us know. We'll try and deal with it there. But the more that the data grew, the more questions that came to us to say, we can't handle this. We need other help so that we can QA the data as it sits in your database, not as it sits in our database, and how it compares across program areas. So on our state homepage for state users, we came up with a select QA reports, and these aren't all of them. We have more. So, but I'm going to quickly go through them all. Just leave that up for a second for everybody to see. So, but what you see here is just a mix. There are actually buttons for every program area. Every program area sees their own reports. So the first one is a message count report, and this is kind of real data. I actually chose Mayo Medical Laboratories because they have some good data, but for the past month, and it shows down here by program how many records that they had submitted over that past month, and it's not going to work here, but if you click on the number, you actually get into the details of what was reported. So, and you can choose any lab, you can choose it by local health department, any date range. If you choose, if you leave lab off, you can click down here and say lab, and it'll give you whatever labs you choose and the record so you can do comparisons. You can do it by county, you can choose a single program area. So, it works pretty well. The second report that was in the list is what we call our check-in report. We have a lot of labs that only report one or two records a month. Sometimes they don't report anything. So that we don't bother them, we give them a little check-in feature off of their lab page where they can log in and just click, I had nothing to report for this month. So this report here shows over that past month the facilities that had checked in to say that they had nothing to report. We list the program area that they were checking in for. Each program area only sees their own data, but I'm a super user, so I get to see everything. Once again, we can choose a specific lab if we want to, a specific program area if we want to as well. I forgot to change the title of this, but this is not a check-in report. This is actually our active lab report. Shows all the labs that are reporting to through eClairs, where they're located, what the status of the lab is. Certified means that they're paperless. We also have what's called stage one and stage two for testing and secondary testing or verification. The date that they became certified and the type of reporting that they're doing, whether it's data entry or file submission through our system. We also have a variety of report cards. They can be run on the fly for any time period for any lab. They provide a snapshot of how complete the data elements are being reported: patient address, provider name, specimen source, all the what we call required or highly recommended fields that we need to validate. And it also shows invalid values which are being reported, if they have XX for a patient name, if the zip code is not a zip code that is 5 digits, it's only 4 digits, that type of thing. We will provide it within this report card for that time frame so that they can get an idea. We do have a report card for every program area. They can be printed out and mailed to the facility. The facility also has the ability to go in and generate their own report card and on the fly and see how they're doing as well. So this is a quick little walkthrough. When they get in, we can choose a lab name. The facility, their lab will be populated up here, and they can choose a time frame that they're looking for, and they can go back forever. We try and tell them to stay to the last 60 days for timeliness of running the report. On here, all you can see are communicable diseases, STDs, and TB, and we also break hepatitis out by itself since it's such a big program. Our HIV department sees HIV, lead sees lead, cancer sees cancer. So this is what the report card looks like. Up here, it shows how many records the lab had submitted across each program, total number of records, and this was for just a 3-day period that I chose for this particular lab. And you can see, you know, for a collection date, they were missing 1.3%, not bad. Down here, specimen source, they're missing 96.3% of specimen source name. They might have had the specimen source code, but the name wasn't populated. And what we do is, over here in this column here, we say if there's an asterisk, it means that they were missing more than 80%, or that they were missing more than 20%, sorry, it's down here, was missing. So these are the invalid values of this part. So you can see, you know, 000 for a zip code is not good, NA for a patient city, for a provider address, these aren't really street addresses, these are just headers for that, and down here, provider last names are codes, not really names. So, and the list goes on, but I had to cut it off. So we have another report that was on there, and this is our daily lab report. We do this for all commercial labs to show the volume of reporting, and this once again is by program area. So this is the communicables STD TB portion, once again for Mayo. It's easy to read. We can easily tell if they were missing a day, and we can, just by glancing at this every day, if there's something on the bar, we know they're reported. If there's nothing there, we can send them an email, say, hey, we didn't get a file, what's going on? Works pretty well. We also have the same thing for monthly lab reports. Goes back 5 years, so we can check on trends to make sure that the numbers are steady over that course of time. With this facility, at the end here, you can see a heavy drop-off from there to here, and this is for lead. So this was a good example for lead. And we actually wound up calling the facility and saying, hey, what's going on? And they explained that they dropped some tests that they were doing, some clients, so that's why their numbers dropped off. So, but this is very, very good as far as time, and it gets a little hard to read as far as the numbers, depending on the volume. So, but it is a good chart for trends, and we do this for every single lab by program area. The past two reports, the labs cannot see. We probably will be adding it so that the labs can see. Just a little more complicated for each lab to see only their report, because this isn't a PDF and all labs are in the same PDF right now. Then we have a missing data element report for our lead department. It basically says if there is no patient address or no patient date of birth, they want to see it so that they can generate the list and send it to the lab and say, provide us this information. So you can see here, missing date of birth, but there is an address, and these ones are missing address, some are missing both, and it is listed by facility. They like it, they can print it out, they can actually choose by lab if they want to, instead of having every single lab show up, they can just go out and pick and choose their labs as well. Other reports that we have a monthly email notification of labs that have not submitted anything in the past 30 days. And that we use in conjunction with that lab check-in report. So if we see on the monthly report, hey, this lab hasn't reported anything, we can go to the monthly check-in and say, oh yeah, they checked in. So once again, it's broken down by program area. Every program area gets their own report. We also have, because we get so much through FinMS, we have a nightly email of files which weren't processed. Basically, they hit our FinMS receiver, but they never made it over to eClairs. There was a disconnect between FinMS and eClairs. We store that transaction in a database, and we query that at night to make sure that everything came through and processed. Anything that didn't process, we go out and we manually do it from our side. This is the 30-day missing report. We actually, last week, so I couldn't get into here, did get this into a button on that page, so it does generate a PDF. But it does show here, this is for Communicools STD TB, shows the facility, shows the last date of submission. For the most part, we know why a lot of these don't submit. If they pop up, we call them up. Sometimes if there was a facility that closed, they still show on this because of the way that the report is generated, because they had submitted something before. So, other reports that we're working on, we've got some reports to calculate timeliness of reporting. We're still in the analysis phase of that, because that is, each program area wants something different. And it's basically, we're looking at timeliness from date of collection to date of report, and then timeliness of date of test to date of report. So, and we're not sure how we're going to do it, if we're going to do a bar graph, if we're just going to say, hey, this lab is 3 days late this percentage of the time, 5 days late this percentage. So it's something that we're still trying to work on. We have an address update function within eClairs where, because not all labs submit addresses when they submit the patient record, we allow them to go in up to 3 days after, and they can bring up the record and manually type in the address. Quest, LabCorp, a couple other labs, they use this on an ongoing basis when they are able to. So we're going to do analysis of that to show its impact on demographic reporting. We have other enhancements that people have been asking us to do for the report cards based on their feedback, so we're gathering all that right now. And the last one, as I just said, the email notifications into the QA homepage. The 30-day report we've done already. The FinMS transaction one, we're going to look to get that into the page already so that we can keep a running list of that instead of just an email, because people tend to delete emails. I get so many from the system. The monthly report I usually delete by accident before I read it. And that's it.